I wanted to say just another word. Casey mentioned to you already we're going to have a concert tonight, and if you've never seen or heard the Hartley family, I just want to encourage you to come and listen to them. They're very energetic and very talented, and it's just it's a bluegrass gospel mix. It's very fun to listen to. And if you've never heard them, I want to encourage you to come back tonight and listen to them. They've got a great song. They've got a great message and song. And I'm sure Tom will have more to say, too, during their concert. So that's tonight. And as Casey mentioned, if you've never heard Pastor Salek, I want to encourage you, don't miss that either. Next Sunday, Pastor Salek will be here. And he will preach to us in the morning. He's a great preacher. He loves the Lord. And he will tell us of things that are happening in the ministry there. Friends, they are nothing short of miraculous. What's happening there in Pakistan and that ministry is just like what happened in Acts 2, 3, 4, and beyond. Miracles are happening all over to the glory of God. So he will be with us next week in the morning, and then Sunday evening he'll come back and talk more about the ministry and perhaps answer some questions. So I want to encourage you. Those are exciting things, exciting opportunities I hope that you'll be part of. Now let me just say this too. Last Sunday we had baptism, and if you were able to come join us at the river, you know how exciting that was. It was so exciting for me. It was just an absolute highlight for me when we have that kind of a day. And as I was thinking about this, I guess I didn't think about it or didn't really connect. But as I was thinking about this over the week, there was 21 people, first of all, that were baptized last Sunday, which is praise and glory to God. But of those 21 people, there was three sets of sisters. There was a brother and sister. There was a mom and daughter. There were three adults that were brand new in their faith. One of them was 71 years old, who had just come to the Lord a few days prior to baptism. There were little biddies, but they knew exactly what they were doing and why. And there was middle age, and so it was just a great day. And I just wanted you to know that we should give God glory for those kind of days. Amen? We should give God praise and glory for those kind of days. If you've got your Bible, we're going to go back to Romans. We've been working our way through Romans for a long time. And as I read through Romans 14, there's a couple of three things in there, and three verses particular in that chapter that I want to emphasize today, but there's a couple three things that I think are very, very important for us as believers, as a body of believers, as children of God, as followers of Christ. So we're going to go to Romans 14. I'm going to emphasize three verses and fill in a lot of other verses, but let's pray. I want to just ask us to pray before we go to Romans 14. Father, thank you again for your word. Your word is truth. And as Paul says here in Romans 14, even in the church, we will in fact have differing opinions. And so I pray, Father, that we would see today what Paul says, and we would hear from your Spirit more so than my words as I read these words, and help us to be the people of God that you would have us to be. So, Father, I would ask that your Spirit would lead us in this as we look at this chapter. But I would also pray this morning, Father, for those on the prayer focus and those names that Casey asked us to invited us to put on there. And I just want to pray, Lord, for every one of those circumstances. for baby Gabriella and for Fred and for Floyd, who are new to the prayer list, but there's a multitude of other names. Vicky and Eli and Jack, I mean, it just goes on and on. Sierra and so many more. Father, we just want to pray for each and every one of those and ask for divine intervention and ask that you would touch and minister to and encourage and strengthen and restore whatever else is needed. Father, we just ask that you would be there with them. And then there are those requests, those concerns, those needs, they're not even on there. There has been death in our community again this week. It seems like it's not a week go by. It seems like sometimes several times a week there's another announcement of another person in our community that has died. There are other tragedies. There are other difficulties. And Father, I just want to pray for them all this morning and ask for leading of your Spirit, for healing, for salvation, for transformation, for revival. I just want to ask, Father, that your will is done here in this service this morning, but in our nation, in our families, in our lives, in our churches, in our government, in our schools, in our business places. Father, we just ask that your will is done. So guide us this morning as we take a look at Romans 14 again. And may you be glorified in and through all of it, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 14, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let's take a look and see what Apostle Paul says. Here's where he starts. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not, he says, to disputes over doubtful things. Now, some of your translations will say different things. I like what the New Jerusalem Bible says about the second part of that verse. It says, do not get into arguments about doubtful points. Is that not good advice, friends? There are so many things we can get hung up on. There are so many things we can argue about. Too many things we probably do argue about. Obviously, there are differing opinions about lots and lots of things. But I think this is one of the three verses I want to really emphasize in Romans 14. This is vitally important. Receive one who is weak in faith. I'll talk about that a little bit more because Paul talks about that a little bit more when he gives us a couple examples. But not to dispute over doubtful things. There are things for which we will not agree. We will see it differently. But he's reminding us in the church, don't fight about that. Don't get into arguments about things where you have differing opinions. So, I want to share with you a little bit that I gleaned from the commentary from Life Application Study Bible about this verse before we press on. This verse, this first one, assumes that there will in fact be differences of opinion in the church. That's a given. There's going to be, we're human beings, we have different thoughts, we have different backgrounds. And so this verse assumes, and Paul speaks to that, there will in fact be differences of opinion in the church. And this verse assumes that we are different levels of faith. That's why he says, receive one who is weak in faith. He's not putting a person weaker in faith down. He's simply saying we have different levels. And then he says, don't get in fights over things. So this verse assumes a couple of things. There will be those that have different faith, weaker faith, meaning that there may be just a lack of knowledge or understanding or depth of spiritual maturity yet. And it also assumes there will be differences of opinion in the church. Now, from this is what I gleaned from the Life Application Commentary. Number one, Paul is saying that we should not quarrel about issues that are matters of opinion. Are you hearing him this morning, friends? We should not fight amongst each other about issues that are matters of opinion. Point two, I glean from that commentary, differences should not be feared or avoided, but accepted and handled with love. That's why I have entitled today's topic, The Law of Love. He said, again, differences should not be feared or avoided, but accepted and handled with love. And point three, from the Life Application Commentary, it said, do not expect everyone, even in the best possible church, to agree on every subject. I think we have figured that out. Have we not figured that out? Even in the best of possible situations in the church, we're not all going to agree. And so, as we glean from this, differences of opinions need not cause division. Amen? Way too often they have. You know it and I know it. Differences of opinion need not cause division. That's what he says when he says, but not to disputes, receive one who's weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. So, let's see how he elaborates on that initial statement. Verse 2, here's an example he gives us. Now remember, the church at Rome is probably made up of both Jew and Greek, obviously new believers, so different levels of faith. So he gives them these couple of examples. Here's the first one. Verse 2, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And so Paul simply lays out this simple example, and I said earlier today, we could put a lot of different things in place of eating meat that we may have different opinions on. But he lays this example out there just to remind us of the simplicity of not quarreling about matters of opinion. Is that not fairly clear? That to me is fairly easily understood. Let me say this, that later in this chapter, and also in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, he makes this statement to us believers, to those believers, do not put stumbling blocks in front of your brothers or sisters in Christ. I'll speak to that just a little bit in a minute. And so I put these two together because it's as simple as this. If I were to invite somebody to my home, and he's speaking to the church of Rome, perhaps Greek background, perhaps Jew background, new in faith, and it's as simple as this. If I were to invite somebody to my home and they were all of Jewish descent, I wouldn't plop down a great big pork roast and say, eat and be filled. That's what he's talking about. It's really that simple. Why would I put a stumbling block in front of my Jewish believers because they don't eat pork? That's what he's talking about. But I want us to think beyond, because there are other applications for us today besides eating meat. So that's the idea he's trying to get across to the church when he says, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Don't fight over those matters of opinion. Okay, let's press on. Verse 5, he talks about another subject when he says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord does not eat and give God thanks. Another example, don't fight about which day you keep. That's what he's saying. When you keep a day, keep it to the Lord. Keep it in high regards to the Lord. Don't fight about your Christian brothers keeping a different day. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I think that's pretty straightforward and fairly easy to understand. Let me press on. For none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Let me just say this, friends, about this. You know, and I know, I've done a steady string of funerals this year and last year. I've done a lot of them. Death continues to happen, it seems like a very rapid pace. When Paul is speaking, listen to me now, if you hear nothing else, listen to this. When Paul is speaking here, he's speaking to people that have put their faith in Christ. He talked about how back in Romans chapter 10. He talked about why in lots of previous chapters before that. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. He's not talking about you need religion. He said we need Jesus. And so when he makes this statement, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, he's talking about people who put their faith in Christ. If we have not put our faith in Christ, we are not ready to die and be with Christ. We must recognize what he said in this chapter, and Jesus said, and Peter and James and John and all of them have said, for God so loved us, he sent Christ. And our response to that must be embrace him by faith. Remember we spoke about last week, repent, repentance and baptism connection. Repentance means turning away from the current or existing object of my trust. Turn away from that and put my object of trust and faith in Christ. If we haven't done that, friends, and we die, we're not going to be with him forever. And we can argue and say, well, Jim, I don't believe that, or Jim, I'm young and I got lots of time to think about that and make decisions. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And when Paul makes this statement, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, that's for people that have put their faith in Christ. If we haven't put our faith in Christ, God's provision, then we're not the Lord's. We need to decide about that. And so then he goes on to say, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? He's going back to that original statement in verse 1. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. May I suggest to us, we confess our sin to him, we proclaim him as Lord now before we stand before God, not having ever done that. Now, the second verse that I want to emphasize in this chapter. He says in verse 12, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Did you know that, friends? You're going to stand before God someday, and you're going to give an account for everything you've thought, everything you've said, everything you've done or did not do. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, and here's where he says it, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. You know what he's saying there? Friends, do we know? Give me one of these if you know, or give me one of these if you don't. I'll elaborate further. Do we know what he's saying? Let me elaborate. I don't think you know what he's saying. If I'm walking on this pathway called life and I call myself a Christian, and I've got a Christian brother that I know has been struggling in the past with alcohol or drugs or gambling or pornography or any one of another of a bunch of things, I'm not going to invite him over and offer him a glass of wine. I'm not going to invite him over if he struggled with pornography and say, hey, let's watch this X-rated movie. I'm not going to invite him over if he's had a gambling addiction and say, let's go buy some lotto tickets and see if we can't strike it rich. That's what he's talking about. Are you still with me? He said, do not put those kind of stumbling blocks in front of your brother and sister. Why would you do that? Why would you try to make your brother fall? That's what he's talking about. And so when he talks about these stumbling blocks, he talks about meat and he talks about the day that we keep, or somebody else keeps. Keep it to the Lord. And when you're keeping it to the Lord, it don't matter what day it is. But he's telling the church in Rome, and he's telling us today, why would you put a stumbling block by boasting, well, I can drink if I want to, or I can buy lotto tickets if I want to, and I can watch a little bit of porn if I want to, or I can take a little bit of smoke a little bit of weed for medicinal purposes if I want to. Why would we put those kind of stumbling blocks in front of our brothers and sisters? That's what he's talking about. Or insert a half a dozen other things. Let us resolve not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in my brother or sister's path. Let us not do that. That's his message to us. He says then in verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. You see what he's saying? If my brother or sister says alcohol is unclean and I invite them over there and I say, here, have some alcohol, I'm going exactly the opposite of what he says. I'm putting a stumbling block in front of them, causing them to fall. He says to the church, don't go there. Then he says this, if I do, come on over, friends that are Jewish of descent, eat and be filled at my pork roast. Come on over, those of you that have struggled with alcohol or drugs or whatever else, and I'll offer you some wine. If I do that, look at what he says in the next verse. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. That's why I've called this the law of love. If I put that kind of stumbling block in front of my brothers and sisters, I'm not walking in love. Pride, maybe. But I'm not walking in love. Then he says this. This to me is crystal clear. And he uses the topic of food, but we can put a lot more topics in there than food. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ has died. That's what he's talking about. Do not put something in front of your brother and sister whom Christ has died to make them stumble. You're not walking in love when you do, Jim or anybody else. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Verse 16, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. And verse 3, the third verse of this chapter that I want to emphasize before I close. Here's what he says in 19. Let us pursue the things which make for peace. Do you remember what he said in the first verse? Do not argue over doubtful points. Let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Not the stumbling block, not to make him fall, but to edify the brother or sister. Are we tracking with what he's saying, friends? This is not that hard. It's good. It's important. Let me say this before I wrap it all up. I said this some time ago. Let me say it again. The Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about people who have put their faith in Christ, who have repented and turned to the gospel. Just like we saw what Jesus said last week, who have turned to Christ, we are the church. We sang about it in Christian Getty's song, The Bride. We are the church. Now, here's my point. If we are the church, because we have put our faith in Christ, we have a very real enemy. The devil has been at odds with God for who knows how long, and the church has an enemy. And the church wants to stir up within the church contention. The enemy, I should say, wants to stir up within the church contention and strife and fighting and difficulty. And Paul says, he says this because he knows this will happen. Don't argue about points of difference. Don't put stumbling blocks in front of your brother, because the devil will use that kind of stuff to see that your brother might fall. And then he says what he says is because he knows this is reality, even in the church. Pursue the things which make for peace, because he knows the enemy will pursue the things that are not for peace. That's why he makes these statements. Build one another up. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Because the enemy will do the opposite. That's why he makes this statement. The enemy will raise his head, and he will for certain try to cause division in the church, and he will try for certain to destroy what God is doing, including relationships among brothers and sisters in Christ. The enemy has been doing it, he is doing it, and he will continue to do it if we allow it until Jesus puts him in his place. This is precisely why Paul commands the followers of Jesus, pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. That's good advice. Is that not good advice for the church, friends? That's good advice. Pursue the things which make for peace. Don't argue about matters of opinion. Don't put stumbling blocks in front of your brothers and sisters. Lastly, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Just absorb that for a minute. He gave us the example of food earlier. He gave us the example of a day. He gave us the example of stumbling blocks. That's a strong statement. Do not destroy the works of God for the sake of food, or your opinions about eating meat or not eating meat. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. I think it's important for us to remember that statement. Amen? I think it's important that the church remembers these simple statements that Paul lays out in Romans 14. So let me conclude with this, then we'll sing together. Three things in there. The first one, we're not all going to have the same faith. We're at different levels of that. But don't fight and argue over things that are a matter of opinion. Number two, never put a stumbling block or cause to fall in your brother or sister's way. Never do that. And number three, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. I think that's good advice. Amen? I think that's very good advice for us to remember. Let's close in prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity that has been ours to come together to worship you like this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are there. Thank you for the instruction. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for each person here. I just want to pray, Lord, for each person here at this service and ask that you would guide them this day and this week in life. You know where each person is at. Where there are struggles, I pray for direction. Where there's weakness, I pray for strength. Where there's sin, I pray for repentance, and I know you'll grant forgiveness. Where there is waywardness, I pray for new direction. And so, Father, I just pray for each and every person here that you would go with them this day and this week, drawing them near to you, helping them to trust in you completely. And for all those that are sick, again, we pray that you would bless them with strength and health and healing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the instruction from Paul. Help us to be people that remember that instruction from Romans 14. Help us to guard against arguing over opinions. Help us to guard against putting stumbling blocks in front of each other. Help us to pursue peace with one another, just exactly like your word said. Help us in this congregation and congregations everywhere to do the same. Go with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.